educated educators talking education. At the Chalk Face with Tim and Sean.
All right, you're at the Chalk Face with Tim and Sean. And Tim, I hear you got a little monologue, a little performance here.
A little bit of a performance.
Real loud.
Yeah, I picked up a book, and the back cover is absolutely intriguing. When you talk about the things that we do at the Chalk Face, check this out. Set in 2029, that would be the future, right?
Yes, 17 years hence.
Yeah. The Education of Sam Sanders, the title of the book, tells the story of an eighth grader searching for meaning in his school experiences. In a public school system beset by the finality and rigidity of standardized tests and curriculum, Sam Sanders, with the help of his teacher and mother, defies the system and creates something new. A curriculum that enlightens rather than categorizes students. In this hopeful yet frightening look at an educational future not too far from our own, we encounter the high cost of inquiry-oriented learning and the even higher cost of a system that suppresses it. And Sean picked up the book, and when I'm picking up the book, I find it in my backpack. There's a signature in there, Tom Petter. And son of a gun, he's standing here at the Occupy movement. So we brought him to the Chalk Face. Tom, welcome to the Chalk Face.
Hey!
Thank you so much for
having
me.
Where'd you come from?
So, The Education of Sam Sanders, a fictional book. You are by training an academic researcher in education. What made you write a fictional book about education reform?
I went to a conference in Texas, of all the states, in 2001, and the first session I went to was a session on testing in Ohio, and I'm a faculty member at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. I had to go all the way to Texas to learn about how the proficiency tests in Ohio were killing the curriculum and killing teachers. The testing movement was so new in Ohio, and I was so busy working with teachers on creating very, very exciting classrooms with the curriculum and with pedagogy that I lost a little bit. I lost a little bit of the politics of testing in the process. And that presentation was led by several academics. One of them was Dana Rapp. There were sculptures, works of art, that showed students being sacrificed at the altar of the test. And it really had a profound impact on me. And at the meeting, I began talking with colleagues about ways that academics could be part of the conversation about the loss of curriculum and pedagogy in America's public schools. One of the ideas that came up was that we needed to use different media to get the word out. Mm-hmm. So if we have an understanding about what's happening politically and we have no way of getting the word out to the public about what's at stake, except for academic journal articles and books that don't get read, academic books, how could we be more a part of the conversation? We started talking about fiction. I volunteered to lead a study group to write works, short works of fiction about how the standardized testing movement was taking over public education. And that led to the draft of The Education of Sam Sanders, a novella, which was a shorter version of the full novel. People started reading the book. I used it in some classes. And
Wait.
Yeah, go
novella?
Ahead. A novella, a shorter work of fiction.
A shorter work. I finally know what it is now, Sean.
I've only heard of telenovela.
A novella is
about 60 pages.
There's
an actual cutoff.
I made the cutoff.
I think I can write one of those.
Most people can, and I hope that people would participate in this exercise of trying to reveal what's at stake through a format or a media that people might consume. As you know, over time, books get consumed when they're good,
mm-hmm.
and when people know about the author. And it's hard for an academic author to break into fiction writing. I'm not really a fiction writer. I was trying writing on for size.
We write really exciting journal articles.
Mostly expository text.
Yeah, lots of people read them, like 10 to 12.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So the experience of trying to put what I thought was at stake into story form was a challenge. I kept getting encouraged by people who were reading along with me, trying to push me ahead to finish the book by writing parts 2 and part 3.
Mm-hmm.
And part 1 is about this young man, Sam Sanders, who's 14 when the story begins, who wants to read real books and do real things in classrooms. Because in 2029, I thought it was ludicrous in 2001 when I started the project. I thought it was ludicrous to even imagine that classrooms in 2029 could be students just sitting behind a terminal taking in discrete bits of knowledge, a PAP curriculum with no meaning, disconnected completely from reality around them, to have a teacher who was only connected to the technology and not to students relationally, and to think that the test would run every single thing that happened in a school. I thought it was ridiculous to even imagine that.
But
and
you imagined it.
I did imagine it, and it became the center of Sam Sanders' rebellion. And at root in the story is my hope. I'm not talking about a messiah or salvation necessarily, but children understand what's at stake. I know even my students at Miami University, who are 19 and 20 now, they have been through a testing regime mm-hmm. in their schools, mostly in public schools, but they're still very smart, critical, analytical, political. They need to be nurtured out. It so happens that Sam Sanders in the story is someone who decides to take action on his own because he knows what's right.
You're at the Chalk Phase with Tim and Sean, and we're talking to Tom Petter, author of The Education of Sam Sanders.
That's one of the questions I would have is that as we look at this, and as you just said, the reality of a standardized curriculum and the effects we've seen and the influences on students, and Sean and I both, you know, being higher education people too, I mean, I agree with you that I think that these students come in with this, it's there, but it's been so drowned out of them that they forget that they're interested in things. What is it though in 2029? How does Sam realize something's wrong?
He happens to be a member of a family that still visits the public library. And in the fictional town where Sam grows up, there's a library building with a librarian, and her name is Ms. Belders. And Ms. Belders is this very passionate woman who sees no one anymore in the building because everything is digitized. No one comes into the building to pick up books. And in fact, there is a subtext in the story about the loss of text and the experience of text through books that are held and the digitization movement that we're currently right in the middle of. It's going so quickly. There is another person in the book, Dr. Dormont, who actually keeps a stash of books from previous high school days in the basement of the school, and she consumes them. There's like this undertow in the book about passion for literacy and for consuming text and generating knowledge through print that I think we're losing. Mm-hmm. We're losing it right now. And one of the things that I think is part of the standardization movement is we're taking really difficult and important texts and boiling them down. We're abridging things. Students aren't going to, perhaps by 2029, ever consume a complete novel. They'll just read an abridged version. They'll only read parts of articles. They'll never get the whole argument. And to have a 21st or 22nd or 23rd century democracy made up of literate citizens, you can't read partial things. You have to read whole things best you can. So Sam Sanders is really interested in reading books, and he does that, and Ms. Belder supports him. What it does, of course, is it gets him in trouble. He's in trouble with the truant officer from the very beginning of his high school career. In fact, one of the earliest drafts I wrote, around page 10, Sam skips one of the practice tests to go to the library.
Oh, my God.
Which
Wait,
is
no.
very bad.
Oh, how'd you get that by your editor?
Well, the first draft of it had the truant officer throwing Sam into the back of the cruiser and pummeling him with blows, beating the hell out of him.
Violence.
And I shared it with a colleague who was sort of keeping track of me, making sure I didn't make too many mistakes. And she said, maybe it would be more effective if you toned down the violence. I'm like, yeah, but I wanted to make sure that the reader saw that there was violence in this movement against children in schools.
Violence against literacy.
Exactly.
I mean, real literacy.
But I think toning back the physical violence made the psychological violence and the societal violence against children like Sam more profound. So the book got better as a result of me getting some editing.
You're listening to Sean and Tim at the Chalk Face, and we're talking to Tom Petter. Go over to Sean. As you're working out there, some of the things that Tom is talking about, you and I have had conversations as you're in the elementary schools working with pre-service teachers, and the types of texts that you see reading, that you see children reading, is this what Tom's talking about? I mean, this mundane kind of non-engaging type of, I mean, it's not literature, is it, that we're asking kids to read?
Well, there's no culture of reading anymore. It's very mundane. It's very mechanical. I once thought of it as atomistic. We've reduced reading to a series of skills and phonemes, which I get. And this whole phonics, whole language debate was litigated throughout the 80s.
Right.
And so we've sort of been there. We've done that. And within the context, you were writing this book in 2001 with the International Reading Association, the National Reading Panel. All that stuff was coming out that was very phonics oriented, heavy in the phonics, and then not so much was sort of a backlash against this hippy-dippy sort of whole language kind of teaching of reading. But the one thing I was interested in was why 2029?
That's a great question. I thought that 28 years out gave me enough room to play futuristically. And over the course of writing the book, it took 5 years to get the full novel completed. I felt like 2029 wasn't far enough out. It should have been 2049 or 2059, because too many things in the book that I write about that I thought were perhaps futuristic are real. It's true that students are being handed digital devices with all of the curriculum on it now. That students only get in school, up to a certain grade perhaps, in public schools, very short pieces of literature to read. And sometimes they're not even literature. And they don't have the experience of dealing with great ideas.
Wait, stories about kids taking the red bus, two stops and making a left, that's not literature?
Right.
Well, no.
What's this mysterious red bus you're talking about?
You know, it's a theme, and it's one of the themes we like to talk about at the Chalk Face.
The red bus.
Well, look, if you know, Sean, what color was that red bus? Remember, we've said that. But think as we talk more, you know, we talk to Tom. We're going to continue more of this discussion about 2029 and what the future is going to hold. And Tom's going to give us a little more taste when we come back at the Chalk Face.
Educated educators talking education at the Chalk Face with Tim and Sean.